The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Gardaí are searching for a man of significant interest in connection with the death of a woman in Kerry, with Gardaí believing that this man has now fled the country. Jamie Carney was found dead at her home in Muckross Road in Killarney on Tuesday. And I'm joined now by Liz Dunphy, Southern correspondent with the Irish Examiner. Liz, what do we know so far in terms of the backdrop of this case?
So in terms of the backdrop of this case, Jamie Carney was a 43-year-old mother of one who had moved from the US, where she was originally from New York State. She had moved from the US back in 2021 to Ireland, apparently. She came here on holiday and just completely fell in love with the place. She was living in Killarney, and unfortunately, on Tuesday afternoon at about 1:30, her body was found in her bedroom by a family member who alerted emergency services, who rushed to the scene, but she was pronounced dead at the scene. She had suffered serious head injuries, unfortunately, and she suffered a violent death. So Gardaí had launched the murder investigation into her death, and just this afternoon, as Shane was saying earlier, they confirmed that a man who they want to speak to in connection with her murder has actually fled the country, they believe now. So this man, it's understood that he was actually in the home. He was known to Miss Carney, and it's believed that he was in her home the night before. A witness overheard an argument the night before her body was found, and Gardaí believed that this man actually left Killarney on a bus to Dublin Airport in the early hours of Tuesday morning. So that's before her body would have been found, and went to Dublin Airport and, as I understand it, boarded a flight to Istanbul in Turkey. So this man is originally from the Middle East, and there's some concern, I suppose, that he may be making an effort to move onward to either Jordan or Syria, where he's a network of people that he would know. So that's the situation. So basically, Gardaí have contacted Interpol and Europol. There's basically an international manhunt now for this person who, as you said, is a person of interest, as opposed to being named as a suspect at this stage. Gardaí just want to speak to him. So that's the current state of play.
And our understanding is that the guards are engaged with Interpol, trying to track this man who has left the country in before, of course, the body of Jamie Carney was found.
Yes, they are indeed. So they're working with Interpol and Europol, I believe, at the moment, to try to track him. Like, there is some issue with, if they do find him, you know, to be extradited back to Ireland, Ireland would have to have, you know, a specific agreement with the country so that extradition would be allowed. But also, to be extradited in Ireland, you need to have, you know, a charge from the Director of Public Prosecutions, and this person hasn't been charged. Gardaí currently just want to speak to him in connection with Miss Carney's tragic murder. So first of all, obviously, Gardaí or Interpol, police, international police forces need to find this man, and then there may be concerns about how to get him back to Ireland potentially after that.
Liz Dunphy, Southern correspondent with the Irish Examiner, thank you very much for joining us on that. We're also joined now by Graham Kavanagh, Research and Development Officer at Munithir na Tíre and former Garda Sergeant, who wrote an article today in the papers, "What Is It With the Killing of Women in Ireland?" which discusses the prevention of violence against women. Graham, you're very welcome to The Hard Shoulder. You yourself obviously have had a long-standing career in An Garda Síochána, and you have unfortunately seen the level of femicide that has occurred over the years here in this country, and you have some particularly interesting insights, I think.
Yeah, well, I suppose I'd start off, Ciara, with saying I'm a 54-year-old male. I could never put myself in the position to understand how a woman can live in a situation like that. So I suppose people listening are going to be here's another man on talking about what it's like to live in a violent situation with a man. And I'm conscious of that. Unfortunately, over the years, like all members of An Garda Síochána, we would come across situations of domestic violence or domestic abuse, as it was historically known as. And it's how we help the victim from the start is the important piece. And I suppose when it gets to the worst situation, it's when somebody dies, and that's too late at that stage, obviously. So it's trying to recognise the behaviour of the offenders, I suppose, is the crucial piece that we're really only starting to develop in Ireland. And there's plenty of good work going on across agencies to do that.
Yeah, you said that very often, and the media is guilty of this too, that when we hear of a man, perhaps a former partner, and we know that the majority of women are killed by people that they were either in a relationship with or had previously been in a relationship with, that we often frame it as somebody who, you know, has lost control, the man lost control. But you said actually it's potentially actually nothing to do with losing control. Very often it's a final act of control.
Yeah, it's a culmination, I suppose, of a period of our actions that have gone on. And I suppose we're all guilty of the language that we use around domestic violence or gender-based violence, and particularly when it comes to women. So I suppose we always have to think of the language that we're using. And I'm conscious that even now doing the interview with you, of what I may or may not say that would, I suppose, offend somebody.
Yeah.
So we need to be conscious of that even when we're doing our media reports of what we say. I mean, when I wrote that article, I was thinking of that as a father and a husband and as a son, and how I want my mother to have been treated, or my wife to be treated, or my daughter to be treated as she grows up, and really not as a police officer. But it's important as male police officers, when we're dealing with female victims of domestic violence, that we need to be conscious of that and how we deal with them from the very start. Because inevitably, when a woman comes into a Garda station to look for help, generally she's at a very advanced stage of suffering domestic violence before she reaches out for help.
Yeah.
And you need to remember that when she comes in.
And it's part of a pattern of behaviour rather than an isolated incident usually, isn't it? You said that women are very often asked, or it is said about women, why did she stay? But you said that there's a much better and more important question we should be asking instead.
Yeah, well, I suppose the question is more aimed at what we're doing about the offender as a society. Like, a part of my job, and that chapter was closed now, but part of my job as a police officer was calling to victims, high-risk victims of domestic violence. And generally they're in settings where they have left the family home and they're put into accommodation or emergency accommodation, or they're rehomed. And you're trying to keep them safe in that setting. And yet the offender is generally still either in custody or out in the community too. And I don't think we're really going to change anything until we start addressing the behaviour of offending and start, I suppose, working more collaboratively through all the stakeholders and how we address offending behaviour. And as a man, how we address that amongst our groups, our peers, our friends.
I just thought it was very striking. You were saying that people are asked, women, you know, why did she stay or why did you stay? And what they should really be asking is, why was he permitted to continue?
Yeah, that's why was he permitted to continue? I suppose, again, I have to be really careful. If you are in a group of friends or a group of colleagues in work, and a male is, I suppose, saying things that not exactly doesn't sound right about their behaviour towards their partner, well, what are we doing about that? Are we calling that out? And I don't know if we're really at that stage yet in Ireland amongst men to do that. So it goes back to, why should the woman be always the one to make the move, when really as a society we should be the ones that are calling out the offending behaviour or the language that's being used by a male? And that's all in the build up to the most heinous crime that can happen, you know.
Yeah. You also said, Graeme, that you find you think that expression "not all men" isn't a useful response.
Yeah. Okay. So I suppose, I think when that comes out, that comes from men. It's the defensive thing, like, why should all men get tarnished with the one brush? And it isn't really a useful discussion to have, because trying to articulate this, I suppose, better than I said it earlier. Maybe you can help me with that, Kira.
I don't know that I can. I read your piece and I thought it was quite brilliant. I think what you said is that even though it isn't all men, and that in fact the overwhelming majority of men never do anything, that there's still a collective responsibility among men to call out men's behaviour. It can't always make male violence be the problem of women and women calling it out.
Yeah, I suppose the way I phrase it, recognising male offending patterns does not impose collective guilt on every man, but it does create a collective responsibility. So, I mean, even after posting that this morning, there's been messages in from men saying, you're right, we need to change this amongst men. And these are people within Ireland. So, I mean, there is, I suppose, there is that feeling in Irish society amongst men that we need to do better for our women. And we shouldn't have to wait till we see what we've seen over the last week or over this year alone to start having or doing something different about this. Yeah. So I shouldn't have to feel guilty about another man's behaviour towards a woman or when he murders somebody. But I definitely think collectively as men, we should be responsible a lot better. We should respond a lot better, and we should start calling out that behavior, the conversations that we hear or the things that we see that mightn't sit well with us.
You also refer to the fact that sometimes people describe men who commit very violent acts against women as monsters, that's not helpful. Yeah. Either that's not really the case either.
Yeah, because more often than not, the men that commit these acts are people that we know from our own communities. They're sometimes, as I would have heard previously in historical media reports, upstanding citizens, or they're professionals, or that they're you know, they've got steady jobs, they're guards, for example, or they're teachers, or they're principals, or they're working in the bank, you know. So we wouldn't call them monsters day to day. But then again, we don't know what goes behind closed doors. And it's calling them monsters kind of creates this imaginary thing that, you know, we're all should be afraid of, you know, when the people that commit these acts are people that generally wouldn't be afraid of day to day in society. Yeah. But behind closed doors, they're a different person.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking of the murder of Clodagh Hall and how that was framed. Yeah. At the time. And nobody, I think, would have referred to her husband prior to that as any kind of a monster, an ordinary man living in the community. But look, I think your article is really helpful, Graham, particularly because you have that experience of being a guard for so long. And I think it is well worth people listening to it. Its title, I'm sure you can find it online, What Is It With the Killing of Women in Ireland? And that is Graham Kavanagh there, who is a former Garda Sergeant and currently Research and Development Officer at Muintir na Tíre.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.